开篇，为何美学是哲学的感官之花？
Why is aesthetics the sensory flower of philosophy?
从鲍姆加登的命名开始。
Starting from Bohr Martin's naming.
当我们谈论哲学时，
When we talk about philosophy,
很多人首先想到的是抽象的概念。
Many people first think of abstract concepts.
严密的逻辑和冰冷的推理。哲学似乎总是与理性打交道。
Rigorous logic and cold deductive reasoning seem to always be associated with rational discourse.
他追问存在是什么？知识。
He asked what knowledge is the knowledge of existence.
从哪里来？
Where are you from?
我们应该如何行动？
How should we act?
这些问题都很重要。
These questions are all important.
但他们似乎离我们的日常感受很远。
But they seem to be far away from our daily feelings.
我们每天看到美丽的风景。
We see beautiful scenery every day.
听到动人的音乐。
Hearing moving music.
品尝美味的食物。
Taste delicious food.
这些鲜活的体验似乎不属于哲学的领地。
These vivid experiences seem to belong to the realm of experience, not philosophy.
这种印象其实是错误的。
This impression is actually wrong.
哲学很早就开始关注感性经验。
Philosophy has long been concerned with sensory experience.
只不过这门学问一直到很晚才获得自己的名字。
However, this field did not get its own name until very late.
这个名字就是美学。
This is the name of aesthetics.
而给他命名的人叫鲍姆加登。
And the person who named him was called Bohr Martin.
鲍姆加登是18世纪德国的一位哲学家。
Ohm, an 18th century German philosopher.
他生活在沃尔夫和康德之间。
He lived between Wolff and Kant.
属于莱布尼茨、沃尔夫学派的传人。
Descendant of Leibnizian Wolffianism.
他在1735年的博士论文中。
In his doctoral thesis of 1735.
首次使用了美学这个词。
For the first time, the word aesthetics was used.
后来在1750年出版了两卷本的美学。鲍姆加登创造的美学一词来自希腊语 aesthesis。
Later, in 1750, Bohr Martin coined the term aesthetics from the Greek word s, which means for.
意思是感性认识或感觉。他把美学定义为感性认识的科学。
Meaning, it refers to the perception or feeling that he defines aesthetics as the science of perceptual awareness.
这个定义在今天看来可能有些奇怪。
This definition may seem a bit strange to us today.
因为我们通常把美学理解为关于美和艺术的哲学，鲍姆加登的初衷确实更宽泛一些。
Because we usually understand aesthetics as Bohr Martin's original intention about beauty and art, it is actually more broad.
他想建立一门与逻辑学并列的学科，逻辑学研究理性认识。
He wanted to establish a philosophy of logic that is parallel to logic, focusing on the study of rational understanding.
美学研究
aesthetic research.
感性认识
Perception.
理性认识有它的规则和真理标准。
This kind of self-awareness has its own rules and standards of truth.
感性认识也应该有自己的规则和正当性。
Sensory perception should also have its own rules and legitimacy.
鲍姆加登认为
Ohm and Gaddon believe that
感性认识不是混乱和低级的。
Sensory perception is not chaotic and primitive.
它可以达到某种完善。
He can achieve a certain level of perfection.
这种完善就是美。
This is perfection.
鲍姆加登的这番努力有一个重要的哲学背景。
The effort of Bohr Martin has an important philosophical background.
在西方哲学的传统中，
In the Western philosophical tradition,
感性一直处于比较低的地位。
Emotions have always been in a relatively low position.
柏拉图认为，
Plato believed that
感性世界只是理念世界的影子。
The sensual world is just a shadow of the world of ideas.
真正的知识来自理性回忆。
True knowledge comes from rational recollection.
亚里士多德虽然重视经验，
Aristotle, although he valued experience,
但他仍然把理性看作人的最高功能。
But he still considered reason to be the highest function of man.
笛卡尔把清晰分明的理性观念当作真理的标准，感性。
Descartes regarded clear and distinct rational concepts as the standard of truth.
常常欺骗我们。莱布尼茨区分了明晰的认识和模糊的认识。
Often, Leibniz distinguishes between clear and distinct knowledge.
感性认识属于模糊的低级阶段。
Gan Zing Ren, Qi Xu Yu Mo, Hu De Dai 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 Duan.
这种理性主义的倾向在鲍姆加登的时代非常强大。
This tendency towards rationalism was very strong in Baumgarten's time.
鲍姆加登想做的工作就是为感性。
Baumgarten wants to work in the field of emotion.
证明，他承认感性认识没有理性认识那么清晰。
Prove that he admits that sensory perception is not as clear as rational perception.
但他有自己的特点。
But he has his own characteristics.
感性认识可以很生动。
Sensory perception can be vivid.
很丰富。
Rich.
他能够把握理性难以触及的细节和独特性。
It can grasp the details and uniqueness that are difficult for reason to reach.
鲍姆加登甚至认为，感性认识的完善就是美。
Even Baumgarten considered the perfection of sensory perception to be beauty.
而这种完善是可以被分析和培养的。
And this perfection can be analyzed and cultivated.
为什么说美学是哲学的感官之花呢？
Why is aesthetics considered the sensory flower of philosophy?
这个比喻其实抓住了美学在哲学体系中的特殊位置。
This metaphor actually captures the special position of aesthetics in the philosophical system.
花朵是植物最显眼也最美丽的部分。
Flowers are the most prominent and beautiful parts of plants.
它从根部吸收养分。
It absorbs nutrients from the roots.
通过茎干输送汁液。
Through efficient branch delivery.
最终绽放出色彩和芬芳，美学在哲学中也扮演着类似的角色。
Ultimately, color and fragrance also played a similar role in aesthetics in philosophy.
哲学的根基是形而上学和认识论。
The foundation of philosophy is metaphysics and epistemology.
他们追问最根本的存在问题和知识问题。
They questioned the most fundamental existence and knowledge issues.
伦理学研究人的行为和价值，逻辑学研究思维的规则。
Ethics studies human behavior and values, while logic studies the rules of thought.
美学看似处在这些学科的边缘。
Aesthetics seems to be on the periphery of these disciplines.
但它其实是连接理性和感性。理论和实践的重要桥梁。
But it is actually an important bridge between rational and emotional theories and practice.
美学让我们意识到。
Aesthetics allows us to realize that.
哲学不只是头脑里的事情。
Philosophy is not just about what's in the head.
也是身体和感官的事情。
It's also about the body and senses.
我们通过眼睛
We through eyes,
耳朵和皮肤接触世界
ears and skin contact the world.
这些接触本身就有意义
These contacts themselves have meaning.
值得哲学
Worth it.
认真对待感性之花
take seriously the beauty of emotions.
这个说法还有另一层意思。
This phrase also has another meaning.
花朵是植物的生殖器官。
Flowers are the reproductive organs of plants.
它代表着生命力的绽放和延续。
It represents the blossoming and continuation of life.
美学讨论的美和艺术。
Aesthetic discussion of beauty and art.
也是人类精神最活跃的表现。
This is also the most active manifestation of human spirit.
人在审美和创造艺术的时候，
When people appreciate and create art,
既不像科学研究那样严格遵循逻辑规则，
Not like scientific research, which strictly follows logical rules,
也不像道德实践那样承担明确义务。
It also does not carry the same explicit obligations as moral practice.
审美有一种自由游戏的特质。
Hengmei has a characteristic of free practice.
它让人的各种能力。
It enhances people's various abilities.
自由的协作。
Free collaboration.
康德后来把这种状态称为无目的的和目的性。
Later, Kant called this state purposeful and purposeless.
人在欣赏美的时候没有实际的功利目的。
When people appreciate beauty, they don't have any practical purpose.
但又感到一种主观的和目的性。
But I also felt a sense of subjectivity and purpose.
仿佛对象就是为了让我们愉悦而存在的。这种状态很独特。
It seems that the people we are talking about are in a unique state of existence, which is specifically designed to bring us joy.
它既不是纯粹理论的认知，
It is neither purely theoretical cognition,
也不是纯粹实践的道德，
not just practical ethics,
而是
however,
介于两者之间的桥梁，
a bridge between the two,
康德在判断力批判中
In Kant's critique of pure reason,
正是通过美学来连接纯粹理性批判和实践理性批判的。
It is through aesthetics that pure rational critique and practical rational critique are connected.
要理解美学为什么重要？
Why is aesthetics important?
我们需要回到鲍姆加登之前的哲学传统。
We need to return to the philosophical tradition before Baumgarten.
看一看，古希腊哲学对美的讨论很多。
Let's look at some of the discussions about beauty in ancient Greek philosophy.
多，但没有形成独立的学科。
But it did not form a unique discipline.
柏拉图在《理想国》和《会影片》中讨论了美本身和美的阶梯。
Plato's diagram of the ideal state and the diagram of the ideal city discuss the beauty of beauty itself.
他认为美的事物之所以美是
He believes that the beauty of things in America is due to
是因为他们分有了美的理念最
Because they had different ideas about beauty.
最高的美是绝对的美。
The greatest beauty is absolute beauty.
它不依赖于任何具体事物。
He doesn't rely on any specific features.
亚里士多德在诗学中分析了悲剧的结构和效果。
Aristotle analyzed the technical issues of tragedy in his Poetics.
提出了模仿论和
But imitate the theory.
进化说，这些讨论都很精彩。
The discussion about the U.S. and its affairs is very insightful.
他们被放在形而上学。
But they were placed in the realm of metaphysics.
伦理学或诗学的框架下。
Under the framework of ethics or lack of ethics.
没有获得独立地位。
Not independent.
中世纪的神学家们讨论美，但往往把美与上帝的属性联系在一起。
However, the theologians of the 20th century often associated beauty with God's attributes.
托马斯·阿奎那说，美。
Thomas Aquinas said,
美是上帝的名字之。
America is God's name.
B. 美的事物具备完整。
Saying that these things are complete.
比利和光辉三个特征。
Three characteristics, Billy, bright and shine.
文艺复兴时期。
Renaissance period.
艺术家和理论家开始关注艺术创作的技术问题。
Artists and theorists began to focus on the technical issues of artistic creation.
达芬奇的绘画论。
Darvinci's treatise on painting.
阿尔伯蒂的建筑论都是重要的美学文献。但
Aberdeen's architecture is an important aesthetic literature.
他们仍然没有形成系统的哲学分支。
But they still haven't formed a systematic philosophical object.
鲍姆加登的贡献在于
Bohm's contribution lies in
他第一次把感性认识作为独立的研究对象。
He first presented the concept of subjective experience as a distinct area of inquiry.
并给了他一个专门的名称。
And he was given a special name.
他受到莱布尼茨和沃尔夫的影响。
He was influenced by Leibniz and Wolff.
但走出了自己的路。
But he walked his own path.
莱布尼茨区分了理性真理和事实真理。
Leibniz distinguished between rational truths and factual truths.
前者依靠矛盾律。
The former relies on the principle of contradiction.
后者依靠充足理由律。
The latter relies on sufficient reasons.
沃尔夫把哲学体系分为理论哲学和实践哲学。
Wolff divides the philosophical system into theoretical philosophy and practical philosophy.
理论哲学包括形而上学和逻辑学。
Theory of philosophy includes metaphysics and logic.
实践哲学包括伦理学和政治学。
Practice of philosophy includes ethics and politics.
鲍姆加登觉得这个体系中缺少了一个环节。
Bohm and Gardner felt that the system was missing a crucial element.
那就是对感性认识的研究。
That is the study of sensory perception.
感性认识虽然不清晰。
Although the perception is not clear.
但它有自己的逻辑。
But he has his own logic.
他称之为感性的逻辑。
He called it sensual logic.
这种感性的逻辑不是用来推导真理的。
This kind of emotional logic is not used to derive truth.
而是用来指导我们如何让感性认识变得更完善。
Instead, it teaches us how to make our intuitive understanding more complete.
当感性认识达到完善的时候
When the perceptual understanding is complete,
它就产生了美。
This is where beauty comes from.
相反
On the contrary,
感性认识的不完善
Incomplete sensory perception,
就是丑。鲍姆加登的这个想法很有野心。
This idea of ugly Baumgarten is very ambitious.
他想建立一门关于感性认识的科学。
He wanted to establish a science of sensory perception.
这门科学既研究美的规律。
This science studies the laws of beauty.
也研究艺术创作和鉴赏的心理过程。
Also studies the psychological processes of artistic creation and appreciation.
他试图为美学奠定一个理性的基础。
He tried to establish a rational foundation for aesthetics.
让美学不再是随意的个人感受。
Let aesthetics no longer be a casual personal feeling.
而是可以讨论和传授的知识。
Instead, it can be discussed and taught.
当然。
Of course.
鲍姆加登的尝试并不算很成功。
Bohm's attempts were not very successful.
他的美学是用拉丁文写的。
His aesthetics were written in Latin.
文风晦涩。
Obscure writing style.
例子也很少。
There are very few examples.
影响力有限。
Limited influence.
后来康德对美学的看法与鲍姆加登很不一样。
Later, Kant's views on aesthetics differed from those of Baumgarten.
康德认为
Kant believed that
把美学叫做感性认识的科学不太合适。
Calling aesthetics a science of sensory perception is not appropriate.
因为感性认识太宽泛了。
Because the perception is too broad.
包含了所有感觉。
Contains all feelings.
经验。
Experience.
康德把美学限定在关于美的判断力上。
Kant limited aesthetics to judgments of beauty.
也就是鉴赏判断。
That is, appreciation and judgment.
鉴赏判断不同于一般的感性认识。
Appreciation and judgment differ from ordinary sensory perception.
它具有普遍性和必然性的要求。
It has the requirements of universality and necessity.
尽管这种普遍性不是逻辑的。
Although this universality is not logical.
而是主观的。康德之后
Instead, after Kant, it is subjective.
黑格尔、叔
Mr. Hegel,
本华、尼采等人都对美学做出了重大贡献。
Kant, Nietzsche, and others have made significant contributions to aesthetics.
美学逐渐成为哲学的标准分支学科。
Aesthetics has gradually become a standard branch of philosophy.
为什么今天的美学通常被理解为关于美和艺术的哲学呢?
Why is contemporary aesthetics often understood as being about the philosophy of beauty and art?
这有一个历史演变的过程。
Here is a historical evolution process.
鲍姆加登的原始定义太宽泛了。
Baumgarten's original definition was too broad.
几乎所有的感觉、经验都可以归入感性认识。
Almost all sensory experiences can be classified as sensory perception.
但哲学慢慢发现。
But philosophy gradually discovered.
感觉经验中只有一部分值得特别关注。
I feel that only a part of the experience is worth paying special attention to.
那就是那些引起愉快或不愉快的审美经验。
That is, those aesthetic experiences that are either pleasurable or unpleasant.
尤其是艺术。
Especially art.
它集中体现了人类创造美和感受美的能力。
It embodies the human ability to create and appreciate beauty.
于是
So,
美学的研究重心从一般的感性认识转移到了审美经验和艺术作品。
The focus of aesthetic research has shifted from general sensory perception to aesthetic experience and artistic works.
上
At
19世纪以后
After the 19th century,
艺术哲学甚至成了美学的同义词。
Art philosophy has become synonymous with aesthetics.
黑格尔的美学讲演录主要讨论艺术。
Hegel's lectures on aesthetics mainly discuss art.
他认为艺术是绝对精神的一种表现形式。
He believes that art is an absolute form of spiritual expression.
与宗教和哲学并列。
Alongside religion and philosophy.
这种转变让美学变得更具体。
This transformation makes aesthetics more specific.
更有针对性。
More targeted.
但也可能丢失了鲍姆加登。
But it may also lose Baumgarten.
原来想强调的感性认识的广度。
Originally, I wanted to emphasize the breadth of the intuitive understanding.
近几十年来
In recent decades,
环境美学
environmental aesthetics,
日常生活美学等新兴领域又开始拓展美学的边界
The emerging fields of everyday aesthetics and other areas have begun to expand the boundaries of aesthetics.
把自然景观
natural landscape,
建筑
architecture,
装修
renovation,
日常用品都纳入审美讨论的范围。
Everyday items are included in the scope of aesthetic discussion.
这某种程度上回归了鲍姆加登的初衷。美学作为哲学的感官之花。
This, in a sense, returns to Baumgarten's original aesthetic philosophy as a flower of the senses.
还体现在他与其他哲学分支的紧密关系上。
This is also reflected in his close relationship with other branches of philosophy.
美学与认识论关系密切。
Aesthetics and epistemology are closely related.
因为审美判断也是一种认知活动。
Because aesthetic judgment is also a cognitive activity.
当我们判断一幅画是美的。
When we judge a painting as beautiful,
我们不仅表达了个人喜好。
We not only express personal preferences,
还隐含了一个要求别人同意的普遍性主张。
This also implies a general claim that requires others to agree.
这种主张的基础是什么？
What is the basis of this claim?
是感官的直接反应，还是理性的分析？这个问题直接触及认识论的核心。美学与伦理学也有很多交集。
Is it a direct reaction of the senses or a rational analysis? This directly touches on the core of epistemology. There are also many intersections between aesthetics and ethics.
美与善的关系是古老的话题。
The relationship between good and evil is an ancient topic.
柏拉图就说过。
Plato once said,
美本身就是善的一种形式。
The United States is also a form of goodness.
现代美学中，艺术与道德的关系经常被讨论。
The relationship between art and morality in modern aesthetics is often discussed.
艺术是否可以传达不道德的内容？
Can art convey immoral content?
我们是否应该根据艺术家的道德品质来评价他的作品？
Should we evaluate an artist's work based on his or her moral qualities?
这些问题把美学和伦理学绑在了一起。
These questions tie aesthetics and ethics together.
美学与形而上学的关系同样紧密。
The relationship between aesthetics and metaphysics is also very close.
什么是艺术作品的存在方式？
What is the existence of a work of art?
一幅画是画布上的颜料。
One painting is the paint on the canvas.
还是某种观念性的实体。音乐作品存在于乐谱中。
Whether a conceptual entity of music exists in the sheet music.
还是每次演奏中。这些本体论问题需要形而上学来回答。美学的独特之处
Do these ontological questions always require metaphysics to answer the unique aspects of aesthetics?
在于，它必须同时处理两个看起来矛盾的东西。
It must simultaneously handle two seemingly contradictory things.
一方面，审美体验是非常个人化的。
On the one hand, aesthetic experience is highly personal.
每个人的感受都不一样。
Everyone has different feelings.
你喜欢古典音乐。
Do you like classical music?
他喜欢摇滚乐。
He likes rock music.
这很难说谁对谁错。
It's hard to say who is right and who is wrong.
另一方面。
On the other hand,
美学又要寻找普遍性的规律和标准。
Aesthetics will again seek universal patterns and standards.
我们希望说某些艺术作品比另一些更好。
We hope to say that some works of art are better than others.
某些审美判断比另一些更正确。
Some aesthetic judgments are more correct than others.
这个矛盾怎么解决？
How to solve this contradiction?
鲍姆加登试图用理性主义的方法来规定感性认识的规则。
Baumgarten attempted to establish the rules of sensory perception using a rationalist approach.
这显得有些勉强。
This seems a bit strained.
康德换了一个思路。
Kant changed his approach.
他认为
He believes that
审美判断不是逻辑判断
aesthetic judgment is not a logical judgment,
而是反思判断
instead reflect on judgment.
审美判断不把谓词归给对象
aesthetic judgment does not attribute predicates to objects,
而是从对象中感受到一种主观的合目的性
Instead, it is to feel a subjective core essence from the object.
这种判断要求别人同意。
This judgment requires the other party to agree.
但又不通过概念来强迫别人同意。
But not through concepts to force others to agree.
这是一种很微妙的立场。
This is a very subtle position.
他承认审美判断的主观性。
He admits the subjectivity of aesthetic judgment,
但又不放弃他的普遍性
but he didn't give up his universality.
要求，康德的这个思路影响深远。
This requires a profound impact from Kant's ideas.
后来的美学基本上都在这个框架内打转，美学作为感官之花。
Subsequently, most aesthetics revolved around this framework, treating aesthetics as a sensory experience.
还因为他关注的是哲学中最具生命力的部分，哲学。
Because he is focused on the most vital part of philosophy.
容易被误解为枯燥的学问。
Easily misunderstood as a dry subject.
但美学提醒我们。
But aesthetics remind us,
哲学
philosophy,
也关心那些让人激动
also, I am interested in those that are exciting,
感动
moved,
震撼的事情
shocking things,
伟大的艺术作品能够改变我们对世界的看法
great works of art can change our perception of the world,
能够让我们体验到他者的生命
Let us experience the lives of others.
能够让我们感受到超越日常的神圣感。
It allows us to feel a sense of the sacred that transcends the ordinary.
这些体验很难用概念和逻辑来捕捉。
These experiences are difficult to capture with concepts and logic.
但它们同样是真实的。
But they are also real.
甚至比抽象推理更接近生命的本质。
Even closer to the essence of life and abstract reasoning.
尼采说
Nietzsche said,
艺术是生命的最大兴奋剂。
Art is the greatest stimulant to life.
这话有些夸张。
This is a bit of an exaggeration.
但点出了美学与生命的紧密联系。
However, he pointed out the close connection between aesthetics and life.
美学研究的不仅是艺术作品。
Aesthetics research is not only about artworks.
更是人在面对美食的整个身心反应。
Moreover, the entire physical and mental response of a person when facing food.
这种反应包含了感觉。
This reaction includes feelings.
情感。
Emotions,
想象和理解是人的全部能力的综合运用。
Imagination and understanding are the comprehensive use of all human abilities.
鲍姆加登为美学命名的时刻
The moment when Baumgarten named aesthetics
其实是一个哲学史上的重要转折点。
In fact, is a significant turning point in the history of philosophy.
它标志着感性终于被哲学承认。
He marked the moment when emotion was finally recognized by philosophy.
不再只是理性的陪衬或障碍。
No longer just a rational accompaniment or obstacle.
当然
Of course,
这并不意味着感性取代了理性。
This doesn't mean that emotion has replaced reason.
而是说感性有了自己的合法领地。
Instead, it is said that emotion has its own legitimate territory.
理性有逻辑
reasonable, logical.
感性也应该有美学。这种对称的安排
learning should also have a corresponding aesthetic arrangement.
体现了启蒙时代的一种平衡精神。
This reflects a spirit of balance characteristic of the Enlightenment era.
启蒙不只是理性的光芒。
Enlightenment is not just the light of reason.
也是感性的解放。
Also, it is a liberation of the senses.
人们开始相信。
People began to believe.
感性和理性。
Emotion and reason.
可以和谐共存。
Can coexist harmoniously.
共同促进人的全面发展。
Promote the all-round development of people.
席勒后来在审美教育书简中。
Later, Schelling simplified the aesthetic education.
把这个想法发挥到极致。
Take this idea to its fullest extent.
他认为。
He believes that.
只有通过审美教育，人才能从感性的人变成理性的人，又不会失去感性的丰富性。
Only through aesthetic education can people transform from sensory people to rational people without losing the richness of their senses.
审美的游戏冲动呢？
The impulse for aesthetic games
能够调和感性冲动和形式冲动。
To reconcile sensory impulses and formal impulses
让人达到真正的自由。
To achieve true freedom.
今天我们生活在一个感官被极度刺激的时代。
Today, we live in a time of extreme sensory stimulation.
社交媒体上的图片和视频铺天盖地，广告和娱乐产品争相吸引我们的注意力。
Images and videos on social media are flooded with advertisements and entertainment products vying for our attention.
我们的感官被各种信息轰炸。
Our senses are bombarded with various information.
但真正的审美能力反而可能萎缩了。
However, true aesthetic ability may actually atrophy.
这时候更需要美学来帮助我们理解什么是好的审美体验。
At this time, aesthetics are more needed to help us understand what constitutes a good aesthetic experience.
什么只是廉价的刺激？美学不是教我们什么是美。
What is just cheap stimulation, not teaching us what is beauty?
而是教我们如何更敏锐的感受。
Instead, it teaches us how to be more sensitive.
更深入地思考自己的感受。
Think more deeply about your feelings.
它让我们意识到。
He made us realize that.
每一次审美判断都是一次小小的哲学活动。
Every aesthetic judgment is a small philosophical activity.
背后。
Behind.
都隐含着对世界和生命的理解。
All of them imply an understanding of the world and life.
这正是美学的意义所在。
This is the meaning of aesthetics.
他把哲学从高高的讲台上拉下来。
He brought philosophy down from the high platform.
让他回到每个人的日常感受中。
Let him return to the everyday feelings of everyone.
从鲍姆加登的命名到今天的讨论。
From the naming of Baumbarton to today's discussions,
美学已经走过了将近300年的路程。
Aesthetics has already walked nearly 300 years.
这期间
During this period,
美学经历了多次转向。
Aesthetics has undergone multiple shifts.
从感性学到艺术哲学。
From empiricism to aesthetics.
再到语言转向和文化转向。
The language shifts and cultural shifts.
但它的核心关切一直没有变。
But his core concerns have not changed.
美学始终在追问感性经验的意义和价值。
Aesthetics has always been concerned with the meaning and value of sensory experience.
追问人在面对美和艺术时的独特状态。
Questioning the unique state of humans when facing beauty and art.
这种追问不会终结。
This questioning will not end.
因为人的感性经验是无穷丰富的。
Because human sensory experience is infinite and rich.
艺术创造也是日新月异的。
Art creation is also constantly evolving.
每一次新的艺术运动。
Every new art movement.
每一次技术变革都会给美学带来新的课题。
Every technological revolution brings new challenges to aesthetics.
数字艺术
Digital art.
人工智能艺术
Artificial intelligence art.
虚拟现实
Virtual reality.
审美
Aesthetics.
这些都是当代美学正在处理的前沿问题。
These are all cutting-edge issues that contemporary aesthetics are grappling with.
未来的美学一定会更加开放。
The aesthetics of the future will be more open,
更加多元,
more diverse,
更加贴近变化中的感性生活,
more closely aligned with the changing emotional life.
回到最初的问题,
back to the original question,
为什么美学是哲学的感官之花?
Why is aesthetics a flower of the senses in philosophy?
因为美学让哲学有了温度和色彩。
Because aesthetics gives philosophy warmth and color.
让哲学不再只是干枯的概念。
Let philosophy not be just a dry concept.
美学是哲学中最接近生命的那部分。
Aesthetics is the part of philosophy that is closest to life.
它用花朵的方式绽放。
It blooms in a floral way.
既扎根于理性的土壤
Rooted in the soil of reason,
又向着感性的天空伸展
Reaching out to the emotional sky.
当我们说一朵花很美的时候
When we say a flower is beautiful,
我们其实在做哲学
We are actually doing philosophy.
当我们问为什么这朵花美的时候
When we ask why this flower is beautiful,
我们进入了美学的领域。
We have entered the field of aesthetics.
美学
aesthetics
帮助我们理解这种朴素的感受背后的道理。
Help us understand the underlying reasons for this simple feeling.
也帮助我们训练自己的感受力。
It also helps us to develop our empathy.
让它变得更敏锐。
Make it more sensitive.
更丰富。
More comprehensive,
更有深度
more profound,
这就是美学的价值
This is the value of aesthetics,
也是为什么它值得我们在攀登哲学巅峰的路上认真对待
This is also why it deserves our serious consideration on the path to achieving the peak of philosophical thinking.